Please turn to the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy. The Apostle Paul instructing his protege Timothy and the churches that he served by writing down the words that God has given him. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. That's where we're going to start. That's the scripture we're going to read. We're not going to stay there. We're going to be skipping around. But we're going to start here and use it as our launching pad. Amen? And so, Paul, writing to his protege and to the church there that he's serving, starting in verse 3, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all." How many?
All.
He desires all men. That includes ladies. It's not leaving anybody out. It's just a generic term for humanity. Desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, what is the truth? Jesus Christ is the truth. He came to save you. That's the truth. He's coming again to take you to be with Him. That's the truth. If you leave before He comes back, you'll be with Him. That's the truth. Stand on the truth. Stand on the truth. Amen? Now, I'm not done yet, okay? Just getting started. Stand on the truth. Verse 5. "For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." He is our mediator. He is our Savior. He's our salvation. He's our Redeemer. He bought us back from our enemy. He bought us back from our sin. He made us able to stand before God without fear. God casts out fear through Jesus Christ. We have no reason to fear. You know where you're going, right? What do you fear about that? Maybe you're going to miss your dear friends and relatives, moms, dads, children, brothers, sisters. Yeah, you're going to miss them. But that's why you do your best to encourage them to be in Christ by accepting His salvation, so that someday you'll all be together again. And you'll all be rejoicing again. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much. Jesus, thank You. We cannot express our joy and our thankfulness to the fullest extent. Lord, one day we'll be able to do it when we're there with You. And we won't hold back, and we'll know we can just rejoice and rejoice. We look forward to that day. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit that You gave us to help us conquer this world, Lord. Conquer the sin that so easily besets us and cast our cares on You, that we might fellowship with You constantly from moment to moment until we're there with You in Your presence. We love You because You loved us first, and we know that You are there. Thank You. Thank You. Help us, Lord, to see it today in the Scriptures. We ask it in the powerful, loving, saving name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
God is calling. God is calling. He's calling right now while we're sitting here. He's calling. The Holy Spirit is working in the world right now. Working on people you know. Working on people in your family. Working on people you love. And that's why we should all be praying for those people. That they'll hear the message from the Holy Spirit. They'll yield to His call and make a confession of sin and faith in Jesus Christ. That's what we really want for them, isn't it? So let's not hold back. Let's be an example to them. Let's show them that we love the Lord and we want them to love Him as well, so we can all be together again one day. Amen? God is calling. God has been calling people from the time of Adam. Yes, from the time of Adam. From the moment Adam fell, God was calling him back, calling him back. How do we know that? Because God took some animals and sacrificed them and took those skins from those animals He sacrificed and covered up the nakedness of Adam and Eve. That shows us that God loves us, wants us to be with Him. He's calling us to be with Him, and He'll do what's necessary for us to be there. Amen?
Amen?
He has done everything necessary for you and I to be with Him, not just here, He's with us now, but also there in glory. Amen?
Amen?
Right. You know, we can't look on Jesus now because our eyeballs couldn't handle it. That Shekinah glory of God, it would just burn right up. But when we're there with Him in glory, our bodies will be ready to see Him and fellowship with Him and worship Him. Amen? God is so good. He has prepared everything for us to be able to do that. God has called every person who has ever lived to trust Him as Savior. That's a broad statement. A lot of people don't believe that. But the Scripture says Christ died for who? All. He died for all. You can't leave anyone out. Amen? It's a self-eliminating process. God doesn't have to weed them out. He's laid down the condition and they eliminate themselves by their choice. Will they accept the condition or not? He doesn't make them. He gives them the option. Amen? And even some would debate that. Some think that the way of salvation has changed from ancient times to now. Something has changed. Not so. Not so. How do we get saved? By faith. By faith. In the Old Testament was faith in God. Oh, there was a veiled notion that Jesus, there's a Savior coming, but they didn't know His name. They didn't know who He was. But we know He's coming because God said He's coming. I know my Redeemer liveth. That's what the Scripture says. That's Old Testament. And so by faith, they accepted that. The way of salvation by God is through faith in God. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. But it has been that way since Adam accepted the animal skin clothing that God gave him. The only thing that has changed is that now we know. Now we know the name of that Savior. We know who that Savior is. We have read about Him and heard about Him. God has told us about Him. In His Scripture, in His Word. Do we have any reason to doubt it? None. We trust God's Word. It was given through the Holy Spirit. We have no reason to doubt it. Amen? We know that Jesus Christ is the Savior, the Redeemer of humankind. Amen! Praise the Lord! Oh, hallelujah! Jesus, we love You! Thank You! Thank You! Man, you guys are like a bunch of Baptists. Can't get you to move. Woo! The only Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ, and His shed blood and death at Calvary guarantees that our faith in Him is sure. He is the guarantee. We don't have to have an ounce of doubt. He proved it. How did He prove it? Yes, He died. He gave Himself, shed His blood, gave His body. But then He rose from the dead. He could have died 1,000 times, but if He never came back to life, it wouldn't have been a thing. But now we know it's true. He's true. And we can live with that assurance in our heart. God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit calls humanity to salvation, including you and I. You and I, we've been called. But we haven't been just called to salvation. That's only the first call. We're going to talk about four calls this morning. Four calls God is making to you. And you can judge where you're at in the process. It's a process. Salvation isn't a, you're saved, that's it, let's go on about our business. That's not the way it works. Salvation is progressive in your response to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Once you get saved, that's just the beginning. The Holy Spirit has drawn you into accepting Jesus as your Savior. Jesus, the work that He did is finished. He died on the cross. He guaranteed your salvation. He's relaxing. No, He's not relaxing. He is serving the Father at the right hand of the Father. And He's interceding for us through our prayers. You know, when you pray, the Holy Spirit takes your prayers up to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what does He do with them? He examines them and He polishes them and makes them just right. And then He presents them to the Father. And the Father says, I think I can help. Looks like I can help that situation. And that's because two persons of the Godhead have previously looked at your prayers and made them acceptable to the Lord, God Almighty, the Father. Amen? Amen? So the first call of God to humanity is, of course, the call to salvation. Listen, I hate to be throwing a wet blanket on things, but until a person calls on the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, their prayers are basically meaningless. You don't need to pray to God. He's not going to answer. Because you haven't met the first criteria. You haven't called on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. So you don't have a prayer going up there yet. Some people say, man, I feel like my prayer just hit the ceiling, bounced right back down. That's because you've skipped the first call. You must respond to the call of salvation. Jesus said, you must be born again. If you skip that, you're dead in your tracks. And I mean, you are literally dead in your tracks because you're on your way to an eternity of death. You must have Jesus. Amen? God was able to offer salvation in ancient times because the sacrifice of Jesus had been foreordained and received in past eternity. Oh man, here we go. Is this going to go over our heads or what? I don't know, but I'm going to launch it anyway. It was foreordained. The Godhead said in the past, we got to save humanity. How are we going to do that? We're going to sacrifice a person of the Godhead. And guess what? It's going to be the Son of God. God's going to come down in human form and He's going to be called the Son of God. Because humanity doesn't know how to refer to Him otherwise. They can relate to Him as a son, harder to relate to Him as God. So we're going to call Him the Son of God. He's going to come down and give His life to take away their sin so that they can be made righteous and have fellowship with God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's my take on God Almighty. It's all three of them working together in concert. Then they each have individual works. The Father worked in the past to give us the groundwork for His coming and what all He was going to do. He was preparing us for the coming of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus came and He shed His blood, gave His body, took away our sins. That was His work. He finished it and ascended back to glory. And then the Holy Spirit came into us to live into us and empower us. Empower us to go and give the good news. Yes, we got saved. We don't have to worry about sin anymore. But that's not the end of it. We need to go share. Amen? Amen. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that God wants prayer to be made for all humanity. It says all men, but it means humanity. He's not casting out the women. Don't be afraid of that. You're included. All humanity is going to be saved because God desires it. That's His will. He wants all people to be saved. Will they all be saved? No. It's just like I said, it's self-eliminating. There's people out there that will say, I don't want to hear about Jesus. I don't want to hear about God. I'm too busy with this, that, and the other thing. Don't bother me with that. Bother them anyway. Rattle their cage. Shake their crib. And let them know that they need Jesus Christ. Amen. The truth is that our self-will, like that of Adam, is a death sentence for us. For all those people out there that are saying, I don't need Jesus, I don't need the Bible, I don't need church, you Christians, go away. Yeah, they're just buying into their death sentence. It's already on them. The truth is that our self-will is a death sentence. Every human needs forgiveness from God. Every human needs it. Who's going to tell them about it? Glad you know that. Get started. Your time is limited. Get started. So we all need that forgiveness. And we need to be freed from our sin. And we need to replace that willingness with His willingness to forgive. Replace your sin with His forgiveness. That's what I'm saying. And live it. Don't just think it. Live it. Live a life like you've been saved from death. Somebody pulled you out of the Gulf of America out there because you were drowning. How would you feel towards that person? Oh, you would be thankful. You would be grateful. You would spend the rest of your life thinking about them and thinking how they saved you. That's Jesus. He pulled you out of the gulf of sin and saved you. We should be praising Him and thanking Him every moment of our life. Amen?
Amen.
That's the greater truth, that Jesus Christ paid the price for our sin and forgiveness. He forgave us. He is God forgiving us. Do you ever get that? Jesus is God. He's God. He's forgiving us. And so are the other two persons of the Godhead. Verse 5 in 2 Timothy says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and humanity, and He is the man, Christ Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Not this life. Oh, it's partly this life, but it's mainly eternal life that's coming. Isn't that where you want to be? Eternal life with Jesus. Doesn't that make you feel good just to say it? Makes me feel good. It's a whole lot better than saying eternal death without Jesus. That's the alternative. Now, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't give you the alternative to know what is really the thing that you're facing. So there's one God, one man, Christ Jesus, the God-man, who we must trust because He gave Himself a ransom for all of us. Even the ones out there that don't want to hear about it. He paid the ransom for them. It's up to them whether they're going to accept it or not. We have a say in that. We can go and help them understand. We can go and give them the message. We can help them hear the call of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you don't even have to talk. You just hang around and be godly. Walk in the Spirit. That's really what walking in the Spirit's all about, is being an example to others. And we need to do more of that. Amen? God was able to offer salvation based on the sacrifice of Christ, which He planned. God planned it. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they planned it before they ever created anything. Preordained. That means before anything was created. They planned it. But they didn't just plan it and say, oh, I hope it works. No, they put feet on that plan and they lived it out. They took action and made it happen for our sake. For our sake. 1 Peter 1:18 through 20 says this, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, there's nothing in this world that can buy you back from the enemy. There's nothing valuable enough to God here. He created it all. There's nothing special about it. There's only one thing that's special enough to God to make Him want to use it to buy you back from the enemy. And that is the blood of Christ. The blood of God. That's what we're talking about. The blood of God. The body of God is the price of your redemption. That's the only thing that's precious enough to Him to say, yes, I can forgive you based on the giving of those two elements. We are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He, Christ, indeed was foreordained. He was the plan before they started executing the plan. That's what that means. Here's the plan. Now we're going to do it. Christ, Jesus, the Son of God, part of the Godhead, is going to go and give His life, sacrifice His body to redeem fallen humanity. That's what that's talking about. It was indeed foreordained before the foundation of the world. But it was manifest. It was made open. It was made known. It was executed. It was done in these last times for you. Yes. In God's own time. He planned it out. The Old Testament happened. Then Jesus came, lived His life, suffered His passion, went to the cross, was executed, laid in the grave, came back to life, rose again to heaven, all for your salvation. There's another go crazy moment. I don't see anybody going there. It's okay. Okay. I know you're conservatives, all right? Christ died for our forgiveness. We should think that every morning when we open our eyes. Unbelievable, Jesus died for my forgiveness. Unbelievable, Jesus died to save me. I can't believe it. But you can if you have the faith of Christ. Well, how do you get the faith of Christ? Jesus, save me. That's all it takes. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, pardon me. Any way you want to say it. I'm a sinner. I need you. Save me. Any way you want to say it. Call on the name of the Lord. And what does the Scripture say will happen? You will be saved. You hear any ands, ifs, or buts in there? Not a one. Call on Him. Call on Him. Call on Him. God saves you by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Don't waste it. Don't let others waste it. Tell them you're wasting the death and resurrection of Christ. Accept Him now. Amen? Tell them. Tell them. Tell them. God's word on salvation is His guaranteed promise to humanity of eternal life through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I guarantee you'll be saved if you call on Jesus. That's what God's saying. It's guaranteed. All you have to do is accept it. That's it. God is calling every human to be saved, to be born again. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe the Holy Spirit is working through the whole world right now, drawing every person to the Lord? That's His whole focus. Draw them to the Lord. Salvation. That's the first call. That's the first call of God. Be born again. I hope you did. I trust you did. I hope you'll share with others that they need to make that commitment. They need to call on the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. It's the first step. The second call of God. The second call of God is to imitate Christ. Imitate Christ. Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says it this way. The Apostle Paul writing to the church, "You, therefore, brethren," and that includes sistren too, "by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Why is it reasonable? Well, He died for you. Physically, He's asking you to die spiritually. He's asking you to give your life for Christ. That's what He wants you to do. And then He goes on in verse 2 and He says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good." Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you know what that good and perfect and acceptable will of God is? What is it? Call number one, get saved. That's what God wants for everybody. Get saved. Be born again. That's what God wants. He doesn't want to send everybody or anybody to death. He wants them to be with Him for eternity in His glory. Can't say it loud enough, amen? He wants you there. How then should we live as believers? If that's what God wants, how should we live as believers? We've been saved, what do? How should we behave in our lives as believers? The Apostle Paul wrote this to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, chapter 11, verse 1. This is what he wrote, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." Second call, imitate Christ. Be like Christ. I'm imitating Christ to the best of my ability. You follow me and imitate Him to the best of your ability. You might get ahead of me. That's okay. We're not in a race with each other. We're in a race to see who can glorify God. Right? We're not racing each other. We're encouraging each other. We want to grow in the Lord. Praise God. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. In the original Greek, the verb translated imitate is mimete. Mimete. It means become a person who copies the words and behaviors of another. Copy the words and behavior of Christ. Oh, that's too lofty. That's too high. Well, then copy and imitate the words of Jesus. Can you do that? You can try. That's all the Holy Spirit's asking you to do. Try it. Become a person who copies the Lord Jesus Christ. Our freedom in Christ is a call to follow and imitate our Lord. That's what we should be doing. All the time. Everywhere. It's a high calling. It's a high calling. But you have the Holy Spirit. You can call on the Holy Spirit anytime. You know how you call on the Holy Spirit? You don't even have to say, Holy Spirit, help me. You don't have to say all that. You say, Lord. And the Holy Spirit will start helping you. Because He serves the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ by getting you to get closer to Christ. That's what He's doing. He's doing it right now. Our freedom in Christ is a call to imitate Christ. We are free to imitate Christ. Oh, we're free to imitate anybody in the world we want. But we should be imitating Christ. That's the call of the believer. So if you were in doubt before, now you know. Imitate Christ. That's what you're called to do. Reminds me of a book I read. You can read it now. You can even get it online. It won't cost you a dime. The name of the book is In His Steps. In His Steps. It's written by Charles Sheldon. It's not a new book. It's been around for quite a while. But it's a wonderful, loving description of how a community began to follow Christ, imitating Him, and what happened in that community as a result. I challenge you to read it. Because it's not like reading the Bible where you think, oh, this is so high and lofty and they were empowered by God and I don't know if I can do that or not. No, this is a story about real people trying to serve the Lord and imitate Him. In His Steps by Charles Sheldon. Jesus told His disciples in Matthew 16:24, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself. What do you think that means? What does it mean to you to deny yourself? It means take your mind and your desires and set them aside. In fact, just let them die. Set them aside and let them expire. And put the mind of Christ in there and start doing what Christ wants you to do. What He would do. If you are imitating Him, you're going to do what He would do in any circumstance that you experience. And yes, let's see, WWJD, right? WWJD. What is he talking about, WWJD? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do if He were in my shoes right now? He said, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. What's the cross? It's similar to the cross of Jesus. What happened on the cross of Jesus? He died. Jesus died on His cross. What's He asking you to do? Die to yourself on your cross. No, you're not going to literally die. You're not going to go out and ask somebody to crucify. No, that's not the idea. The idea is you're going to deny your will and start living His will. That's the call for believers. Follow Me. In other words, imitate Me. Christ, not me, Dan, me, Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. Will you become obedient to the point of death? And I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about the death of what you want. Will I give up what I want to do what Christ wants? That's the question. You have to answer it for yourself. No one can answer it for you. It's between you and the Lord. It's your decision. We are not going to literally physically die, ending our life here on earth, but we must die a challenging spiritual death to self and our selfish desires in order to imitate Christ, our Lord, treating others through His heart and His mind. I can no longer treat people the way I want to. It comes through, I'm sorry. It comes through sometimes. It came through a bit last night. And I was reminded of it. Somebody reminded me of it. A couple of people. I have to ask forgiveness. And that's okay. It's okay for those brothers and sisters to encourage me that I'm letting myself show somewhat. I need to get that under control. That's okay. I need that honesty and encouragement. Otherwise, I just get worse and worse and worse. Pretty soon, nobody wants to be around me. Well, why don't they want to be around me? Because you're acting like Dan. Nobody's bold enough to say it, but that's really the truth, isn't it? Humorous, but sad at the same time. Imitate Christ. Imitating Christ is the most challenging, but the most rewarding thing you'll ever do. Amen. There's an old saying, no pain, no gain. There'll be some pain. I'm not going to lie to you. But there'll be gain. You'll get closer to the Lord, closer than you ever were before. And then you can know the joy here and now of walking in the Spirit in the closeness of your Savior. Wouldn't that be worth it? Wouldn't it be worth it? Put that in your I want to encourage myself file up here. I'm getting closer to the Lord. It's going to hurt, but I'm getting closer. To know the joy of Christ, we'll need to raise our humility level. We'll have to be more humble than we ever were before. Our humbling of ourselves to the Holy Spirit. You're not just humbling yourself to somebody else. You're humbling yourself to the Holy Spirit. So He can use you in drawing others. That's what He wants to do with your life. Use you. It's okay if He uses you because He's going to use you for good. He will always use you for good. I am preaching to myself as well as you. This applies to all of us. We all need to give into the mind of Christ. Kick yours out. Get into the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. This is God's second call to the church. Die to self. Be born again. Imitate Christ. The third call. The third call of God to His church is serve your Lord. Serve your Lord. Whatever talent, skill, knowledge, education, training, or leadership skills you have, or even think you have, you should be using them to the glory of Jesus Christ and the enablement of His church. Everything you are and have is for Him. I got one amen.
Amen.
I hope I'm not putting you to sleep. Scripture says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, and he who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. That's Romans 12, 6 through 8. We see it's talking about gifts of prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhorting, giving, leading, and mercy. Those are spiritual gifts. I understand that. But whatever gift you have, you can use for Christ's church. Does the church need bookkeepers? Does the church need groundskeepers? Does the church need maintenance people? Does the church need cleaning crews? Does the church need musicians? Does the church need children's teachers? Yes, and more and more and more. There's a place for you to serve. And you know what? You don't have to stay in that one place once you volunteer. Hey, I volunteered for this, but I'm not liking it very much and I'm not doing very good at it. Okay, try something else. Find your niche. You have that freedom. The Lord loves you. He wants you to be joyful in your service, not downtrodden. The Lord needs all of us. And He wants to use all of us. What's holding Him back? Look in the mirror. What do You want me to do, Lord? I'm open. I'm living for You. I'm giving to You my will. Just show me where You want me to go and what You want me to do. The third call to us is to serve our Lord with both our spirit and our physical gifts by serving His church. Fourth call is to live like a believer. Live like a believer. Put feet on your faith and live like a believer. Go into action. Be a positive example for Christ, representing Him wherever you are. It reminds me of an old hymn. Right in the corner where you are. Now, I don't know the whole hymn, but I like it. I'm going to have to get it for Ryan so we can start doing it, right? Right in the corner where you are means wherever you are, you can serve the Lord and you can live like a believer. Well, why should you live like a believer? Because you're going to be a living demonstration to others about what a believer should be. Oh, you'll fail sometimes. Don't let that deter you. Go ahead and try. After all, you have the Holy Spirit in you, empowering you. You have the Lord Jesus Christ cheering you on, along with the Father. They all want your success. They are for you. They are for you. They will help you. How do you get that help? Call them. Ask them. You don't even need your cell phone. They'll help you because they love you. One phrase in that song, right in the corner where you are, says this: you can help guide others across the bar, right in the corner where you are. That bar is the sandbar of death. If somebody crosses that bar without Christ, they're going to eternal death. A never-ending process of dying. That's what that means. But if you can somehow get them to hear and see and feel the Holy Spirit and respond to the Holy Spirit, the call of Jesus, they'll cross that bar headed for glory. Everlasting life. Living life forever. Isn't that where you want them to be? Of course it is. Of course it is. Right in the corner where you are, you can be that living guide for Christ by getting saved, by imitating Christ, by serving Christ, and living a life guiding others, humbly honoring the Lord with your life. Don't just speak it. I mean, that's a good start. But live it. Live it. Please look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and drop down to verse 9. Romans 12, verse 9. That's where we're going to start. That's where we're going to start to end. Okay? There's the good news for you. We're going to start to end. I'm going to close this morning by reminding us of what living like a believer should look like. What should it look like? Romans chapter 12 tells us, the Holy Spirit tells us what our lives should become and look like. In fact, you should go back and carefully study this chapter, Romans 12. And look at it and read it in the light of this is what a Christian looks like, acts like. Romans 12, we're starting at verse 9. I'm going to add a little bit as I go through this. Okay? You didn't think I was going to let you off that easy, did you? Okay. Verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, don't fake it. Love like Christ. Well, how did He love? He gave it all. He gave all His love. Next, abhor what is evil. Abhor evil. That means hate evil and avoid it. Even the hint. If you get a glimpse, if you get a whiff of evil, get away. Stay away. Then it says, cling to what is good. What clings best? An anchor. Anchor. Set your anchor in Christ. Have His mind, have His heart, live His life. Anchor yourself. Verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Humble yourself to each other. Humble yourself. You're not better than anybody else in this congregation. Sorry. Sorry. Had to come out eventually. No, we're all giving in to Christ. He's better than all of us. I'm glad I got an amen out of that one. Humble yourself to each other. Verse 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Imitate Christ. Imitate Christ. That's what it's saying. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Be faithful. Be faithful. Do not forsake the assembling of the saints. You will encourage them. They will encourage you. Christ will encourage us all. Don't forsake that. Verse 13. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. Giving care to others in the church. See, that's directed at the church. Giving care to each other. Verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Be forgiving. Be forgiving. Oh, I can't forgive that person. Yes, you can. You can. Ask the Lord. He'll help you. He'll help you. You might not like it, but He'll help you. I'm just being honest, okay? Verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be encouraging in all situations. Some things are sad. Some things are joyful. Be encouraging no matter what. Each extreme and everything in between, be encouraging. I'm so glad to see Chris and his family here today. You are an encouragement to them. They are an encouragement to us. Vina was an encouragement. Faithful in her service. Verse 16, be the same mind toward one another. Promote unity. Promote unity. We're all here to help each other. That's only going to happen if we're in unity. No down talking. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Be a servant. Serve the high and lofty. Serve the down and out. Be a servant. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Lean on God's Word. Lean on God. Lean on the Holy Spirit. Ask for the help that you're going to need. You're going to need it. Just make up your mind right now. I'm going to ask. Because I know I'm going to need help. Verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. Show Christ. Show Christ. Show His mind. Show His heart. No evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Promote God's Word.
Amen.
That's the only good thing in the world. Promote God and His Word. Promote the Lord Jesus Christ. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. That goes back to abhor evil. If you have something against somebody, dump it. Cast your care on the Lord and start treating them like nothing ever happened because you've forgiven them and it's over. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Walk in the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Holy Spirit. You can't walk in the Spirit and be demanding revenge at the same time. They're mutually exclusive. The Holy Spirit is promoting love and Christ and reconciliation and forgiveness and kindness. You can't hate and be wanting revenge if you're walking in the Spirit. So there's a check for you too. I didn't think about that before, but there's a checkpoint. If you're feeling that towards somebody, that means you got some work to do. You and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen.
Your victory is being Jesus to your enemy. That's when you'll know you've got the victory. I can be Jesus to somebody that doesn't like me, that doesn't encourage me, that doesn't promote me to be what I should be as a believer. But if I encourage them and promote Christ to them and promote sound doctrine to them, then I can have the victory. Amen? Be Jesus to your enemies. And we're almost done. Just give me another minute. Listen. Now's the time to listen. Focus up here in the front. Four calls of God in the life of every believer. Opportunities for victory in your life. That's what these are. Four opportunities for victory in your life. Salvation, imitating Christ, serving Christ, living like Christ.
Amen.
Take the first call. Ask the Lord to save you from your sin. If you've already done that, where are you in the list? Where are you in the four? Start improving in that area. Start asking the Lord to help you. Ask the Holy Spirit to encourage you and show you the way to get better where you're at. Right in the corner where you are, that's where He'll help you. If you ask Him, you must ask Him to get the help. Amen? Call on Him. Turn from your sin. Well, what sin? What sin am I doing? The Holy Spirit will show you. You ask for revelation. He'll show you. That shows growth right there that you're willing to ask. Ask Him. And when He reveals it, turn from it. Turn from it. Ask forgiveness. Repent means to turn from it. I repent, I turn from it. I ask You, Lord, to forgive me. Holy Spirit, empower me to overcome and be the representative for You that I need to be. Amen?
Amen.
Ryan, would you come up, please? It starts with taking the first call to ask Jesus to forgive you of all your sin and be born again. And then you move on from there. Keep asking for help from the Holy Spirit. Don't stop asking. Keep asking. He is your power. He is your power. You can call on Him right now. We're going to start singing, but you can call on the Lord. You can call on the Holy Spirit. He'll start right now. He doesn't even need to think about it.